No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I mean, on this jealousy aspect this evening, I think about what we possess, what we internalize, what we manifest, right? And it exists because we bring it to life. We start practicing it. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So he already knows, right? He knows every decision that we're going to make, whether it is a temptation, and I think along the lines of temptation being no more than straying away from him, straying away from our Savior, our Redeemer, the Creator, the Giver and Taker of life himself. Yes, of course, it's common to man. Well, we ourselves, we've seen it, we've witnessed it, we've experienced it. By the way, we're still forgiven, we're redeemed. What about Christ? Yes, God is faithful, everlasting, unconditional, multitude of nations. Seems like quite the jurisdiction, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Somebody once told me that, you know, he ain't going to put anything on your plate that you can't handle. I thought, I'm on a diet, I ain't trying to eat a whole lot. But we exercise, we work within that, we manifest it. So if jealousy is relevant, its only relevance is within the way that we respond. But it doesn't become jealousy until we actually have a response. Is that true? Somebody could be acting lavish. They could be outspoken. They could be outdressed, right? Any of these particular aspects. But until there is a reaction, it doesn't even formulate. It doesn't surface. There's nothing to talk about. It's not even relevant. But you heard what I've been saying. You heard the mindset that I've had recently. Well, it better be about God. I don't care what you got to talk about. It better be about God. When you take it and you put it straight back in his hands, you give it right back to him. Come right on into my heart, soul, mind. Save me, redeem me. I got a whole bunch for you and I'm giving it straight to you. Then you don't have anything to worry about. So if we spend the majority of our time manifesting, proclaiming, and testifying the jealousy, the envy, the greed, the 7 deadly sins, I get into it sometimes, occasionally, right? Yes, of course, sloth, right? Gluttony, we get into those. Then it's no more than this is the belief that we've chosen to live by. So what entities, and I think it's a sense of power, we would say that. Power is a sense of acknowledgement of self-control, acceptance, unconditional love. I am capable within and what he's given me. Nobody else is defining me in any way, shape, or form. So if that power is only the mindset of acceptance, with the emotional attachment to topics that we find to be involved in, why are we indulged in the wrong aspects? And why do we not find God? Are we jealous that he is the giver and taker of life? So I shall try to be the giver and taker of life at this very moment? No, I mean, I heard that because of his only son, Christ. I am forgiven and redeemed. I like a little bit of communion. The body, the blood. We're talking about Christ, right? So we think about it and we are forgiven. But you know what? The moment we try to play Christ and we're forgiving somebody else, it don't work out too well for us. I often wonder, I said, well, how come? How come that ain't working for you? Because it's about them. So don't be jealous, don't hate, don't judge. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Corinthians 10:13. First one's Philippians 2:3, I think, wasn't it? Nope, I did that wrong. I apologize. Romans 12:21. Overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Kill him with kindness. Yes, of course, it doesn't need to manifest. It doesn't need to take root. That seed that you planted, you can weed it out of the garden. Pull it out. It's like a rock. You're out there tilling it, and oh, you hit a rock. Oh, it's going to be tough on the tiller. You grab it, you throw it out there, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to plant some new seeds of greatness here. I'm thinking about Christ, my Savior and Redeemer. I've got that. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. James 3:14. If you have bitter and jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, he's within us in thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. Do not boast and be false to the truth. Well, who's got a point to prove? I don't get it. Why would you want to be false to the truth in the first place? What is the truth? Some self-defining notion of finding eternity and being invested in it? The walk and the path that I have chosen is enlightened by him. I am gracefully accepted, redeemed by him. Each and every day I'm capable of giving thanks. Hallelujah. I am saved. I am redeemed. That must be the investment. How could it not be? So do not boast and be false to the truth. The truth is not to be defined by creature. I can't tell you what's right for you. Sure, to tell you the truth, I can't even tell you what's right for me. But I know that I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I believe in Him. I believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, if you would. Substance within my life. Spreading the good news. Oh boy, joy and happiness. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. James 3:15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, right? But is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That's a tough one. So there is some sense of wisdom here on earth, but it could be unspiritual, and it could be demonic. The third person looking in. I'm not on the outside knocking on the door. Let me in. Where are you trying to go to? I'm trying to get back to God and Christ. What happened? Well, I mean, I just took the wrong turn back there. Turn now, right? I'm just not really sure how to get back home. Well, regardless how many times you stumble and you fall, you've been led astray on earth in that spiritual suspense. I'm on my way to heaven, eternity. I'm climbing the ladder, the stairway. Hallelujah. We're still forgiven. We're still redeemed. I don't feel bad about it. It's just about jealous. Well, I mean, my neighbor, she's going to heaven. I'm not sure if I am. I feel a little bit different. Lord, forgive me. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. James 3:16. Shoot, it seems like I've been encountering this an awful lot here recently. So for where there is jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. I was just telling the congregation, the body. I was telling the church, and I wasn't trying to boast about it. But I says, can't you tell? I says, these institutions that you're walking into, that you're handing money to, that you acknowledge for them being alive and taking breath, God and Christ aren't available in them. And if they aren't, and it's completely destructive and distraught in every way, shape, and form, then you might as well find somebody else or somebody else. You can't continue to go on by praising and worshiping entities where God and Christ don't exist. Somebody says, well, I was talking to a friend earlier at work today. He was talking about incarceration, and I was just shaking my head. It's the furthest away from God that you can ever get. I just couldn't believe it. I'm sitting here listening to him. I says, well, I said, I think it really comes down to what you believe in. I said, if you believe in it and it works for you, then it ain't got nothing to do with anybody else. Of course, for me, it's God, Christ. Of course, it's got something to do with somebody else. I'm my Savior, Creator, my Redeemer, the Shepherd, the Good Counsel. Spread the good news. Cheers, if you would. He goes, well, I think it works for those that, you know, that need to be punished. I thought, whew. So now creature's the one that's allowed to state that we're in need of punishment, that it's right or it's wrong. And in the back of my mind, I'm sitting here trying to contemplate how the scale got broken. And I'm like, well, your numbers are all messed up. The scale's going a little bit heavy to the wrong side. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, you're not put on this earth so that you can judge and condemn other human beings, be jealous and envy and greed. I know there's a whole bunch of it, right? I'm like, no. You're put on this earth so that you can provide sustainment. Well, I might not have a whole lot to give. Me either. But I've got some, and some's a whole lot better than none. Jeez. But what you have to give, nobody's interested in it. You're only here on this earth so that you can condemn, so that you can judge, so you can tell other individuals how they should be living. But he thinks it works. I said, I ain't mad at you. But if the ones that believe that incarceration works, and this is an interesting topic, because you can be incarcerated beyond physical. You can be mentally, physically, spiritually, economically incarcerated. Substance-wise, I have no life. I'm facing incarceration. And then I think about Christ, where are you now? Right? The chains of sin, wickedness, and death being lifted off of me. Spreading the good news. But if I believe in it, then I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed. I can turn the other cheek. I shall repent. I can walk away. But if I believe and forfeit in the life that I've been given by my Creator, then it's no more than giving consent to creature for them to condemn me. That must work. You're only as good as your word. If you believe in it, it becomes practical because you manifest it. You bring it to life. You grow it. You turn the light bulb on it. And before you know it, it starts growing. Boy, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Lord, forgive me. This is a tough one for me to grasp. How about this? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalms 23:1. You hear me reference it? Your economical, physical, spiritual substance, your wants and needs. Just sum it up as wants and needs, categorize it. your creator, your savior. Christ is your provider. Because of him, you are forgiven. You can have an abundance of everything. I shall not want. Peace and contentment go hand in hand. What's opposition? Although yet destructive, yet we believe in it. Surely vexation kills the fool, and jealousy slays the simple. Simple-minded might be complex, Job 5:2. Because a simple-minded might not have a point to prove. And some of you were following the Facebook page when I put on there yesterday or the day before. Hey, you don't have to try hard to love. It's unconditional. It's given. And love does not have a point to prove. But hate? Whew, watch out. I mean, running out that back door. Hate's got a point to prove. Every time. Anytime there's a sense of opposition and there's a point to prove, I'm just wondering. I don't want to interrupt you. I apologize. I'm not trying to be rude. But where is God right now? I'm a little bit lost. I'm raising my hand. Anybody got GPS on their phone? I'm dealing with this old phone here. It ain't got GPS and it don't work. Why, where are you trying to go? I'm trying to get back to Christ, like right now. For real? Like right now. No, I can't even wait. Somebody says, well, you got your children and wives you got to worry about. Well, I mean, I'm hoping that they can find Christ at the same time. You live life without God and without Christ? It doesn't happen. But it's so easily and quickly to become maternal and manifesting to what creature wants and what creature needs. I only wonder, and food for thought, of course, I not question it, but I think different. I only wonder if there was locations to where fulfillment was offered, to where the only mindset is sustainment, and everywhere you turned, the grocery store, acquaintances, the church, the hospital, anywhere you could think of. In this particular society, God and Christ was the only thing that was being offered. What would life be like? Would we be condemned? Would we be judged? Would we be hated upon? Or rather, would we be accepted? We would have abundance of everything. And life would not be by the doctrine. That's not doctrine, is it? By the emotional attachment of the words that we've written down. Some sort of a biased view that this world is indestructible, but yet we are our own worst enemies, and we are taught to believe in something that doesn't work. We know this is going to fail. We know there's a percentage of individuals that ain't going to make it. But you know what? I'm all right with that. Just as long as my grandmama and my babies ain't got to deal with it. You said what? What about Christ? What about Christ? Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 23:18. Well, you got something to worry about now, don't you? Someone said, well, you got to have something to live for. Well, you got something to worry about now, don't you? I don't think you have anything to worry about. So there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Go ahead and dream big. Don't let somebody lead you astray now, but continue to seek him within your dreams, your goals, and to find it relevant in your daily stride. I'm devoted. In each and every breath, for I find it to be overwhelming, but not cumbersome to bring it back on into him. I'm going to give him what is given to me, so it can be returned more than a favor. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Outright nobody. You did what? Now remember what I said, and I'm not trying to teach you. I'm just trying to give you some good food for thought. It's for your interpretation. Make it practical within your life. What key points stand out to you, and how are you living within that light? You said it's getting dark outside. I wonder what time it is. Wrath is cruel. Anger is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? What did I say about jealousy earlier? I can't even remember now. What is jealousy without acknowledgement? Does it even exist? If it's only I can see you through these glasses, through these eyes, this optic, right? These optic nerves. I'm looking right at you. Forgive me. If I can only see you and I have God helping me see, I was once blind, but now I see. Very good. But now I see God within you and I realize that you are forgiven. You are redeemed. It's something of Christ. I'm thankful. I'm faithful. I don't think I have anything to worry about. But stand before jealousy? Well, I put on the armor of God. I don't have anything to worry about. You know, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I don't have anything to worry about. He's already won the war. He already hung on the cross. He was put in the temple on the third day. He rose again. Hallelujah. For real? I like that one. Who can stand before jealousy? It's looking at yourself in the mirror. It needs acknowledgement. Goodbye. Shut the door. Then I saw that all toil and all skill and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This is also his vanity and striving after wind. Somebody said, now you got to be thankful for what you got. You ain't got to worry about it. Somebody got something brand new. They got all the bells and whistles on it. Jeez. What's the price tag on that? You don't even want to know. Mm-hmm. Be happy for other individuals, but better yet, find God and Christ within it. Don't worry about things you can't change. Focus on you and how you can be better for him and how he can be better for you. And I mean, I promise you with every heartbeat that I have, you ain't never going to have anything to worry about. You ain't going to get led astray. You ain't going to have to lay down on the ground. You ain't even going to have to tell individuals no. I mean, I said no. Is it? You're going to have to walk away. I ain't going to deal with it no more. That's a good one. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Psalms 37:7. That's getting good, isn't it? Be still, my soul, before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Regardless of what happens, I can walk away. I can turn the other cheek. I can take a deep breath. I know I'm still saved. I'm redeemed. I'm going to make it to heaven. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. I'm continuing thy father's work. I like to get around with individuals. I walk up in the church house Sunday morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Good morning. I forget now. I mean, I see you got that real nice vehicle sitting outside. I was going to ask you, who do you work for? You see me, I'm trying to continue the Father's work. I mean, I apologize. I ain't mad at you. I mean, you walk up in the church house sometime. Just start rubbing elbows with them, get a little cut up, start laughing, get real giddy. Who do you work for? Well. Boy, they'll tell you who they work for, better yet. You can see it by the way that they walk and how they live within this world. Jealousy is an emotion that you gotta show. You gotta bring it to life. It might exist within you, but you ain't gotta grow that strain of seed this year. I'm gonna pull it out of the garden. You know what? Toss that rock out. You ain't gotta worry about it anymore. For when I was envious of the arrogant, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, Psalm 73:3. I was envious of the arrogant. Ignorance is bliss. Arrogant. Outright arrogant. Smart and sharp as a tack, but boy, arrogant. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, it sure seems like they got everything they want. I don't ever see their vehicles leave on Sunday morning. Boy, we're so quick to look. Look. And most of us, our fingers, the eye. Here it goes. I'm going to cast that stone. I'm going to point it at somebody else. You ever change the way you look? I've been trying to get an eye appointment at least once a year, right? Make sure I'm at 20/20. I got real good vision. Perfect vision. Very good. But change the way that you see the world. Instead of looking down, oppressed, there's jealousy, envy, greed, sloth, wrath, etc. There's some sort of a deficit. My perception of deception is clouded. I'm no longer capable of seeing God or Christ within it or manifesting love. Think about it. Do you have to invest in the emotion that you're living each and every day? It takes a lot to be angry. You gotta manifest in it. You gotta keep it excited. You gotta keep it entertained. You gotta boil it up in the mind. You gotta just work it on over. Outside down. What you mean? I'm putting myself right outside. I ain't dealing with it anymore. I'm gonna turn the other cheek. I'm gonna repent, confession, forgiveness. I'm walking away. Whew. Man in the mirror. Oh, yeah. That's right. So that's where we start. We take it back to us because it belongs within him. Heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed, body, and spirit. And you know what? I ain't got nothing to worry about. Remember? Because I am forgiven and I am redeemed and I shall repent. Oh, Lord, here they come. Help me, God, help me. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. James 3:13. And the meekness of wisdom. So wisdom doesn't have a point to prove. By the way, I got some apples. You hungry? Try a little bit of a bite of a tree of knowledge. Tastes real good, don't it? Where would you be without Adam and Eve? Probably wouldn't be alive today. I think different. So our lives are important. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Psalms 119:89. So it remains the same. Right? We talked about having a good future to look to. So he is the same. So maybe you should be the same. You are still forgiven. Do we look at it that way? So if he's the same and we are the same, I'm still forgiven. I don't care if it's today. I don't care if it's yesterday or the day that's yet to come. I'm still going to be forgiven. I ain't trying to use it to my advantage or anything, but I mean, come on now. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm repentant. I'm walking within that line. Somebody said, well, them 632 laws of the Old Testament, they're eating you alive. Shoot, I don't even want to hear about the Ten Commandments. I'm walking away. I'm walking away. I'll throw a hand up in there. I'm walking away. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Well, we referenced man earlier. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the Ecclesiastes 3:11. Think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. Does it get better? Does it get worse? It might. But we need to be sure of it because it's right for us. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. I see it. You talk to me. I seek you with the way that I see it. I was once blind, but I see. I seek it by the way that I speak, that I talk, how I embrace others. I'm not carelessly wandering this world. I'm not throwing blasphemy at them. Cut my own tongue off, cut my hand off, lead myself astray. I see it. You make known to me the path of life. By the way that I see it, I hear it, I perceive it. And presence, there is fullness of joy. I'm already happy. Somebody said it's a privilege to worship your Creator, Savior, Redeemer. I mean, I'm in on that. They selling tickets, how much they cost. Your right hands are pleasures forevermore. Right hand pleasures, fulfillment with him, joy. Yes, consent. I'm thinking fulfillment, pro-life. I like it a little bit. Forevermore. How long does it last for? Forever, and there's going to be more. I'm talking gratitude, reaping, and sowing. That's a whole bunch. Bountiful harvest. Golly, that's a good one. Now listen at this one. You're going to like this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. How could that be? You seek eternity, right? But isn't heaven eternity? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Heaven on earth. You live the right way. You make the right decisions. You ain't got anything to worry about. It comes right back to him. And that's where it is. It goes back to him. And you're thankful. You're happy that you can do for others. So don't let the jealousy consume you. Lord, forgive me. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, heart, soul, mind, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6:8. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I like that, don't you? So if we're sowing of our own flesh, we're not including him within our life. We're going to reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. My goodness, I'm finding eternity in every corner and every turn. So I think that it's valuable. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to close this up and I'm going to end in prayer here. Thank you for joining me another day of Life or Death Ministries. Be sure to follow Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check out the Buzzsprout feed. Thank you for all your support and your continued donations. Feel free to hit me up with any questions and answers on any of the social media feeds and some of the other venues you have. As I close in prayer and as I close with this talk this evening, reference how your view is destructed. And we all get to this, right? But it so easily passes past us. I was once blind, but now I see. And I hear that. We think about it. Like, it took me forever to get to know this. How many times has your confession of this world been no more than, if I would know now, or if I would I know now, if I would have only known it back then, Lord, forgive me. I wouldn't have had any problems in any way, shape, or form. Excellent. So think about what I'm saying. I was once blind, but now I see. And I'm going to close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father in Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, how so very, very often we find ourselves deceptive by the way we view the world, that we have predisposed dispositions, we've already made our minds up, and the stereotypes of the mentality and the emotions and the view that we are seeing is no more made up of the lack of your ability to give us the fulfillment that you're providing. Remind us to take the blinders off, to wipe our eyes, to see clearly, to see the unconditional love that you are offering us in every acquaintance, moment, breath, and opportunity. Let the seasons of storms not only dwindle and wither our plants, but rather let them have a bountiful harvest and stand outright with growth, with knowledge, with love, with transparency. And let us be reminded to share our deepest wants and needs with you, because they rely so heavily and near and dear to our hearts. With love, with compassion, and joy, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask that you continue to give us this grace as we seek the eternal life that you've been given us. Amen. Thank you for listening. Have a very, very good day. And be reminded, if you would, how do you view the world? God bless you. Have a very good day.